Welcome to Heritage Fellowship's Sermon of the Week. We hope you're encouraged and challenged as we study the Word of God together.
I'm surprised I'm teaching so soon after I taught about meek. Ben said, thought you all voted me out of the church after that Sunday. So how you doing with your meekness? Increase the level of it? I mean, that's what we're about. We are about the Beatitudes, which are about us being in right attitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And so it's a challenge. You know, I've read those Beatitudes many, many times through the years. But somehow I'm reading them with fresh eyes and fresh ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So we are in this season, all of us, that we are being challenged by the Holy Spirit to increase our character as it is outlined in the Beatitudes. And so, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. So all of these are really character qualities, that we are poor in spirit, that we're humble, we walk in humility, that we are those people know who are able to go to Christ with all our troubles, with all our issues, knowing that He will comfort us. But also knowing that the greatest comfort He gives is when we go to Him and we have been mourning and grieving and repenting over our wrong choices, over our sin. And He comes and He has comforted us through the cross. And then there is the meekness and us walking in a place where we really exemplify the character of Christ in being meek with one another and honoring each other with a characteristic of meekness. And then today we come to blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy, obtain mercy. And let me just mention, this is not works. This is not about, okay, I've got to go out and be merciful today because I want God to be merciful to me, so I've got to go be merciful, and I've got to earn God's mercy. Well, you're not going to earn God's mercy. He just gave it freely. He just released it to us. But there's something in the reality of us taking on the character of Christ, taking on His mercy, and us fleshing that out as we live. And as we do that, there is a reaping of mercy in our life. And I think that's not only reaping from some blessing that God would give, but it's reaping a blessing from the lives of other people. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Last night, Peg and I came over here because it was pouring down rain, been raining all day. We thought we better check to see how many leaks we had. We came, we didn't find a leak. Then Alan came in this morning, found one. And we didn't miss it. It just wasn't leaking while we were here. But as we were here, I dropped my wife off at the front door because it was raining. I didn't want her to get wet. I told her not to go through the front door because I think the alarm goes off if you go through it. I drove around to the side. I was a little slow because I could not get my umbrella to open. And so I was a little slow getting in. And then there was a couple coming up in the pouring down rain, She decided, I better go in. She opens the door. The alarm goes off. I can't get to the phone in time to tell them not to send the police. So it wasn't just the police that showed up. It was a state trooper. And so I get out of the car, got my umbrella up. He just gets out and doesn't have an umbrella. And so I explained to him what happened. And he had such mercy. He was so kind, patted me on the shoulder. Just such a sweet fellow. And now the other day, like two or three Sundays ago, I was coming to church. And you know what? Emmanuel Baptist over here on Overlook. And so I was coming through the side street to Overlook. And it's blocked off. It's been blocked off for a while. And so there's nothing coming down the street. So I'm here at the stop sign. This street is blocked. There's a policeman over here at Emmanuel Baptist. I slowed way down. Like, really slow. I mean, I know it's blocked. Nothing is coming. But I still slowed way down. But I didn't stop. And there was nothing coming up Overlook. There was nothing coming out of that other side street. I could see perfectly. I could see the policeman. But I didn't stop. Now, of course, he pulled me over. And, you know, I don't know why they always wait a little while before they turn the lights on. If you're going to get me, just turn the lights on. And, so he waits till I get out here almost to this stop sign, and then turns his lights on. So anyway, he's very nice. He comes up and tells me, you know, you ran that stop sign. I did not argue. I did not say, are you not aware the road's blocked? That could have been my attitude. It's like, are you totally blind? It's like the road is blocked. Nothing is coming down that street. And so he was a nice officer. So what do you think this kind man did? Had no mercy whatsoever. Gave me a ticket. And I wanted to say, do you not know who I am? In such a meek way. I'm on the way to this church. No, I didn't think that. I didn't do that. Anyway, I got the ticket, had to pay the ticket. Stop sign tickets are a lot nowadays. Been a while since I had one. But no mercy. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And then maybe I've not been merciful enough. I didn't get mercy in this situation. It's not about works. It really isn't. It's about us walking in the character of Christ, who is merciful. God is merciful. So I want to just structure for us out of Scripture today, mercy. God cannot be separated from mercy. God always acts from a place of mercy. It's who he is. It's his character. God is love. God is mercy. We go to the next slide. Well, here's the definition of mercy. The first one is from the dictionary. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Now, obviously, that's a correct definition of mercy. Obviously, Christ has done that for us. He did it for those who crucified him, even. And he asked the Father to forgive those who had crucified him, for they knew not what they were doing. But another definition out of this scripture, blessed are the merciful, has to do with compassion. Concern for the misfortune or the suffering of others. So it's a broader definition. It's not only we are going to show mercy to somebody that we think deserves something else, that we should punish them or have vengeance toward them. We're not going to forgive them. So there is this place where we are merciful in those situations, but at the same time, our mercy has to expand to a broader picture, to a broader group of people, and that's anybody that God shows you that you need to be merciful toward. God's mercy is seen in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave his son. That was mercy toward us. But now we come to the Beatitudes and to blessed are the merciful. And now we are challenged. It is not only God that is merciful. It's not only Jesus that's merciful, but we are challenged to be merciful. We are challenged to carry the character of mercy within us. So the question today is, are we carrying that mercy? Next slide. God is merciful. Exodus 25, 10 through 22 is all about the building of the Ark of the Covenant. This is one of the first major statements about God's mercy. And so the Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies. In the Ark were three things: manna, Aaron's rod, and then the commandments. The manna represented God's provision when they were in the wilderness. But you wonder, had they not complained, I wonder what God would have provided had they not complained. But somewhere the Israelites didn't trust God to take care of them. And so they began complaining once they were in the wilderness, free from Egypt, free from slavery, but let's complain. Even though God has just done supernatural miracles in our life, let's complain and let's be obstinate, let's be rebellious. So anyway, in the ark is manna, God's provision, the rod of Aaron, which represented spiritual authority and authority, and then also within there was the law or the commandments, which don't just look at the law as legalism. The law was really built on relationship. The first four is your relationship with God. The second six is your relationship with other people. So all this is in the Ark of the Covenant, but on top of the Ark is what is called the mercy seat. And over the mercy seat are the two cherubim that are looking down on the Ark and on the mercy seat. And so once a year, a priest would go into the Holy of Holies. He would go into where the Ark of the Covenant was. And so one time a year, that priest would go in and he would take the blood of the sacrificed animal and he would take his fingers and take the blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant. And he would do that seven times, which is significant. And so all of that represents who Christ is. It represents the fact that mercy is covering all things. What was in the ark not only represented God's goodness to them, but it also represented that they had rebelled against God's goodness in many ways. They had rebelled against and did not trust him for provision. They rebelled against authority. They rebelled against the commandments that he had given them. And yet, that's in the Ark of the Covenant, but the mercy seat is covering it, and the blood is sprinkled over that so the people are forgiven. Christ now sprinkles his blood over our lives. And so when God looked at the mercy seat, he looked at the blood. He didn't look at actually what was inside. He didn't look at all the wrongs they had done. He's looking at his mercy. And his mercy is covering all their failures. And so the blood of Christ from the cross is being sprinkled on us as we accept it by faith. And God no longer looks at our past. He no longer looks at our failures. God is looking at us through the lens of mercy. And so this is a beautiful picture in the Old Testament of God as a God of mercy. Next slide. Exodus 34. This is when Moses went up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, to get the law. And God passes by Moses. And as he passes by, Moses sees and says this, the Lord, compassionate or merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Mercy. He is a God of mercy. And that word can be translated as compassion. Next slide. Zechariah 7:9. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. That's not just God showing us mercy and compassion. It's us showing mercy and compassion to one another. Next slide. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. Because of the loving devotion of the Lord, we are not consumed, for his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Next slide. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mankind, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Do we love mercy? You know, we have all the motivational gifts out of Romans chapter 12. Mercy is one of those. And there are several people in this room. You just carry this motivation of mercy. And it's like it's easy for you to be merciful and to show compassion and show mercy. Others who are prophetic, administrative, servants, the list goes on. There's several others. Those are your motivational gifts. But you must understand that regardless of whether you're motivated just personality-wise by mercy, you are responsible to be merciful. You cannot escape somehow saying, well, it's not my personality to be merciful. Well, it may not be your personality, but if Christ is in you, the character of Christ will begin to express mercy where mercy is called for. Next slide. From Ezekiel 33, say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Doesn't have mercy in the scripture, but it's a statement of mercy. God doesn't want anybody to perish. God wants everyone to encounter him, to know him, and to live. And so there really is no life apart from God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A lot of people live their lives without God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they are existing. You never live till you know your Creator. You never live till you know and encounter the mercy of Christ upon your life. And you never live the abundant life till you know the Holy Spirit and you begin hearing and walking with the Lord every day. Next slide. So God is both justice and mercy. You can't separate the two. He's both of them. And so when there is a matter of justice that needs to take place, we have to understand that that justice is also rooted in who God is as a God of mercy. And we get so conflicted sometimes because these two don't fit together in our understanding or how we think about things. And so we have trouble reconciling that God is just. How could he send people to hell? If you saw Sandra's Family Christmas, And Mindy played the part of Vera, and she does that whole thing about, what does the Lord require of you? He requires of you to do good, obey your mom, and do what your parents tell you to do, act right. And what's the Lord going to do if you don't do that? He's going to send you straight to hell. Everlasting hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. He really doesn't. God has made a way for everybody. And so people who choose not the path that God has for them, then it was their choice. It wasn't God that sent them there. God loves us, but God is also a God of justice. There are times when we don't understand his just acts because we are looking through this world with some veil over our eyes, and we can't see everything from the heaven perspective that we would like to see. But justice is just as significant to God as mercy is. And he's both. And today we're talking about mercy. Next slide. Mercy is a New Testament church message. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace. Next slide. This is in Jude. You can see, starting at the third line there, who are loved in God the Father, kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Next slide. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Next slide. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. Grace, mercy, peace. Those are not just nice greetings. Those are men of the kingdom who are walking relationally with people. And they are coming to them and they are saying to them in a letter that is relational, grace to you. Mercy to you, peace to you. I want to extend to you great peace. Peace that's beyond understanding. I want to extend to you grace. Grace is the ability that God releases to us. It's his grace that he releases to us so that we might be able to change and become who he wants us to become. And may God's mercy be multiplied to you in abundance so that in his mercy you are moving forward in the kingdom. Grace, mercy, and peace. That's what I pray for you all. I pray that you pray it for one another. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. What is our level of mercy today? Are we walking with a reflection of the character of Christ and how our mercy is fleshed out to others? Next slide. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ. God is rich in mercy. If God is wealthy, if God is wealthy in mercy, how much mercy is in your wallet? How much mercy? If God is wealthy in mercy, I think that's our goal. That we are to be rich. We are to be wealthy in mercy. Next slide. And Kelly just read this to us. Let us approach God's throne with confidence so that we may receive mercy. We have the opportunity to approach the Creator of the universe and to approach Him with confidence so that we might receive mercy. It's not just a one-time event. It's a lifetime event. It's a lifetime of going to the Father through Christ the Son and receiving mercy. We're human. We make mistakes. We fail. I had a beautiful young lady this morning. I won't say who it is, but she told me this morning, she said, yeah, that whole meek thing, next day I failed miserably. Oh, I saw that hand. We do. We make mistakes. We fail. Our flesh rises up. And then we've got to beat it back down. Our flesh so wants to be in control of everything that we are. And yet somewhere, Jesus has got to be the thing that we desire more than what our flesh desires. That's why we go to Him. Lord, I'm here again. I need mercy today. Do you realize people in Scripture, as we go through Matthew, you're going to see a lot of people who cried out to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. They're screaming, have mercy on us. A lot of them, their needs were physical. Some of them, someone had passed away, was near death. But some of them were demonized. God, have mercy on us. Friends cried out for others. Lord, have mercy on them. So there's a place in our Christian walk that we need to cry out for God's mercy. God, help us. Help us get over all of the flesh things. Help us get rid of all the past things that are controlling our present and want to define our future. Lord, help us to get beyond all of that. God, have mercy on us. The next slide. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's the right kind of worship. Because of His mercy, we have the opportunity to live our lives sacrificially unto the Lord and unto others. When is the last time you sacrificed for somebody else? When is the last time God asked you to do something that required a sacrifice on your part and you refused to do it because it required sacrifice? God is a God of mercy, which means if Christ is in us, we are people of mercy. Next slide. So I like to call it, we are dispensers of mercy. You're just walking about your day, going along. Got some mercy here in my pocket. Don't know what to do with it, but then the Lord shows you, oh, you can have mercy here in this situation. You can help in this situation. Here's the situation that you can offer to assist in. And so in Matthew 25, Jesus said, this is what mercy looks like. Feed the hungry, give a drink to those who are thirsty, take in a stranger, give clothes to those in need of clothing, care for the sick, visit those who are in prison. That is a social gospel. That is a gospel that is out into the arenas of life, and we are helping people. Maybe it looks like Heritage Fellowship doing a Christmas tree and pulling those gift tags off that tree out there because we want to bless somebody at Christmas. That is a merciful act. There are so many ways to walk in mercy. I don't even want to attempt to say, here are some suggestions for you. You just need to hear the Holy Spirit. And when he comes to you with, okay, you got some mercy today, this is how I want you to give that, sow that, release that to a situation. Let mercy flow out of you to others. It's who we're supposed to be as believers. Next slide. The Good Samaritan. Everybody knows the story, or most everybody does, I think. It's the story that Jesus told, and he's making a point here. And so there's a man who's traveling. He gets beaten up. He gets robbed. He's left by the wayside. He's injured. He's hurt. And so he's there. And so a priest walks by. A priest walks by and chooses to keep walking and does not stop and help this wounded person. And then a Levite walks by, and as he's walking by, he chooses also not to get involved and leaves the guy lying there and goes on. And then a good Samaritan, Jesus called him good, and he's a Samaritan. Now, the guy lying there is probably a Jew, not a Samaritan. The priest who walked by is a Jew. The Levite who walked by is a Jew. And now we have a Samaritan who, quote, would hate Jews because Jews hated the Samaritans. And yet this Samaritan walks by. He looks upon the guy, sees what kind of shape he's in, and he chooses to help. It's a great example of mercy. So mercy sees. Mercy. The scripture says he felt compassion. Jesus feels compassion for all of us. And if Jesus feels compassion, we need to feel it. We need to experience something in us that, and it may not even be us, it's Jesus in us feeling the compassion. It's Jesus in us that somehow is causing us to feel something for someone in need. And so not only do we see it, the priest and the Levite felt no compassion whatsoever. They saw it and they just went on. So mercy is not just seeing something. Mercy is feeling something. Mercy is sensing. How does Jesus feel about this? How is Jesus feeling in this moment as I'm looking at this situation and you begin to feel his compassion? But then mercy also acts. Mercy actually did something. The Good Samaritan got the man, bandaged him up as best he could, and then he actually took him to an inn and put him there, asked the innkeeper to take care of him, asked them to do what other medical things that he needed done and said, I'll return in a few days, and if there are other things that need to be paid for, I'll pay for it. And this is a Samaritan who should, by our worldly standards, I'm not helping that guy. If I were laying there, he wouldn't be helping me, and he's probably right. He probably wouldn't have. And so the Good Samaritan, he saw the need, he felt the need, he acted upon the need, and he also valued someone different than him. No racism, no judgment, no prejudice, value toward other people. And so it's a good time for us to check our heart. Is there any place that somehow we are devaluing other people? That we are making light of or make jokes about? Or is all our conversations about other people pure and holy and right and loving and valuing? And so mercy sees, feels, acts, and values. So we are dispensers of mercy. So where are we in our level of mercy? What is it that God wants to do with us so that we are more merciful? Have you passed up an opportunity to express mercy to someone? If you have, then what do you need to do? You need to repent. Lord, forgive me for not showing mercy in this situation. Forgive me for not helping there. Forgive me for not investing there. Do I have one more slide? Okay, here's the application. Mercy cannot exist apart from your identity in Christ. You can be humanitarian and not be merciful. You can do all the social things that are good social things to do in our society to help people, but still not do it from a place of mercy. You might be doing it from a place to be recognized. So mercy has to rest in who you are in Christ, because Christ is merciful. And so if your mercy is ever going to be at the level it needs to be, it's going to be identified with where you are in Christ. How much of Jesus is in us? And one of the ways to know how much of Jesus is in us is how humble are we walking? Are we repentant consistently for what we're doing wrong? Are we walking in meekness with others? Are we hungering and thirsting for Christ? And is the mercy of Christ reflected through our lives? Is mercy reflected through your life? Mercy is compassion in action. It's not enough just for you to see something. It's not mercy till you act on it, till your compassion is put into action. Mercy is not contingent upon convenience. Mercy is not contingent upon convenience. Is this circumstance convenient for me to express mercy now? Is this circumstance convenient for me to act upon? A lot of times when God calls us to something, it's not going to be convenient. When it requires faith to act, faith is what pleases God. And so it's probably not convenient. Like right now, I could argue with the Lord and say, this is totally ridiculous. It's not convenient. I'm teaching and I'm preaching. So don't talk to me about something else. Well, the Lord's talking to me about something else. So I'll go do the something else and then I'll come back. That's for you, and it's symbolic. It represents prayers that you have prayed for many, many years. And I'm sowing a seed into your life and into those prayers. God's heard every one of them, and not all of them have happened, but I'm sowing a seed to every prayer that you've prayed for family, for friends, for Nick, who's a great young man. And it's also a seed toward healing for you. Amen. God is merciful. And mercy has a price tag. And see, we want God's mercy. But then when it comes to us having to be mercy, well, what's the price tag on that? How much time is that going to require? What is that investment going to look like? What might that be costing me? How much money am I going to have to put out for this? And our mind begins to wrestle with, is it convenient? And what's the price tag? I don't know what the price tag is for you. I don't know what next week the price tag will be for me or for my wife and showing mercy to somebody. I don't know what the price tag is for us to be a people of mercy. But I do know this one truth. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, and they'll receive mercy. If the worship team would come. Mercy is a character quality of Christ, and if Christ is dwelling in us, then it becomes our character, and we reflect mercy. Mercy is caring more about someone else than it is caring about your agenda for the day. Mercy is caring more about others than it is caring about how much you have or how much you're going to get. You know, when we started the Beatitudes, we didn't realize how weighty it was going to be. We didn't realize what God was calling us up to. I just hope all of us are willing to rise to the occasion. I just pray that we're all willing to rise to this new level of the character of Christ within us. And are we taking... Are we doing examination? Are we examining ourselves? What is the mercy level that I walk in. Is my mercy covering others? Am I walking in a place where I'm crying out for mercy for myself and for others? Am I willing to pay the price of mercy? As I was studying and reading different things, I came across this. It's a legend about a rabbi who welcomed an old man that had been traveling, obviously, for some time. And so this rabbi welcomed this feeble old man into his home for a night of rest. And then he learned, after the guy had been in his home for a while, that the guy was 100 years old. And then the conversation went to religion and religious beliefs. And the old man said, "Well, I don't have any. I've lived my whole life not believing in God. I've lived my whole life as an atheist." Well, the rabbi became infuriated that now he had in his home, he had invited a stranger into his home, which is a Jewish custom. It's also a Muslim custom. And so he invited the man into his home, but now that he finds out he's an atheist, he's infuriated over the fact that he has an atheist, quote, sitting in his house. And so he begins to order the man out of his house. "I cannot keep an atheist in my house." And so without a word, the elderly man, who's 100 years old, he hobbles out into the darkness. And so then the rabbi goes back to reading scripture. And as he was reading the scripture, he heard a voice say to him, "Why did you throw that old man out of your house?" "Well, because he's an atheist. I cannot endure an atheist in my house overnight." And the voice replied, "I have endured him for 100 years. And the rabbi rushed out and found the man and brought him back. Could have been that old man's last chance. Discovered in a place of mercy. So what opportunities do we miss because somebody looks different, acts different, that we, our personalities don't connect? It's like something, we are repulsed by someone else, by how they've lived their life, how they look, how they smell, how they act. And we choose based on all of that rather than based on the Jesus in me that so wants to reflect mercy. Would you stand? There's so many ways to respond to this word. Are you sitting here this morning and you're one of those that's like, "God, my life is such a mess. It's a wreck. I need you this morning," and your heart to be crying out, "God, have mercy on me. God, I need to find life in you." If that's you, the altar's open. anybody here, and you could be saved for 40 years and you need to be crying out for mercy this morning. God, help me past stuff. I've walked in trash too long. God, help me. Have mercy on me, God. Let your mercy pull me out of a place that's a place of destruction in my life. And so that kind of mercy is available this morning. And then maybe you just need to come and just say to the Lord, God, I repent. I'm aware right now of where I could have shown mercy and I chose not to because it was inconvenient and it was going to cost me something. Don't get in condemnation over it. We're not here to condemn. We're here to be convicted. We're here to be convicted of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. We want to expand our level of mercy. And maybe that's all you need to do is you just come to the altar and say, God, I'm coming today saying, expand your mercy within me. As we just worship, you respond to what the Spirit is saying to you in this moment. So, Father, as we sang earlier today, I surrender all. Father, we want to surrender ourselves to you so that we are walking in the fullness of you within us, so that the fullness of your character is reflected through us to others. I pray that we would not resist this call of your Spirit, but that we would yield to what your Spirit is doing because you are creating us more like you. Part of that more is that we are merciful to others. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Please join us online at heritagefellowship.us or in person in Jefferson City, Tennessee, as we encounter God, touch lives, and impact nations.